This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. If you want to be part of the show today, very simple to do, 405-608-4377. That number again, 405-608-4377. It's 68 degrees at 7:06. We got a whole bunch we want to touch on this morning. It is primary day here in Oklahoma. Voters will be hitting the polls, voting for candidates for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and various state, county, and local races. They'll also decide whether to raise the minimum wage. So which candidates are the most gun-friendly? We'll talk about it on your 2A Tuesday. While you were sleeping, a standoff with several armed robbers came to an end. What happened and how it ended, coming up. Well, the parents of a 6-year-old allegedly abused by a teacher are speaking out what they have to say this morning. An Oklahoma woman is facing charges, accused of beating a man with a Bible. So much for turning the other cheek, huh? And your dad joke of the day. We want to hear yours at 405-608-4377. But first, your Freedom's First News. Today is primary day in Oklahoma, with voters casting ballots in several key races, and on State Question 832, which would gradually raise the state's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2029. Oklahoma has a closed primary system, meaning Republican voters can vote in Republican races only, while Democratic voters can only vote in Democratic contests. Independent voters, however, may participate in Democratic primaries, but not in Republican races. However, all registered voters, regardless of party affiliation, can vote on State Question 832. The polls remain open statewide until 7 p.m. New numbers show Oklahomans are turning out to vote in much higher numbers ahead of today's primary election. More than 48,000 voters cast ballots during the 3-day early voting period, a jump of roughly 67% compared to the 2022 primary. When mail-in ballots are included, overall early voting participation is up more than, get this, 100% from just 4 years ago. Election officials say strong interest in open races for governor, U.S. Senate, and other statewide offices, along with State Question 832, raising the minimum wage, have helped to drive turnout. As Oklahoma Republicans head to the polls in today's gubernatorial primary, outside groups have poured millions of dollars into the race. According to the Oklahoman, political action committees not directly tied to candidates have spent heavily on television ads, mailers, and digital campaigns supporting or opposing leading contenders. The spending has intensified the battle among Attorney General Gettner Drummond, former House Speaker Charles McCall, former State Senator Mike Mazie, and others in the crowded GOP field. Political observers say the flood of outside money underscores just how high the stakes are in the race to succeed term-limited Governor Kevin Stitt. 68 degrees at 7:09 on Freedom 96.9. Well, several people are in custody after an hours-long standoff early this morning in an apartment complex in northwest Oklahoma City. The standoff at the Augusta Apartments near Northwest 122nd and Meridian Avenue started after police say the suspects robbed several gas stations at gunpoint. Police found the suspect's car at the apartment complex, leading to that standoff. Two suspects surrendered around 4 o'clock this morning, and then two more surrendered around 5 a.m. The Oklahoma City Police, Highway Patrol, and Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office all responded to the standoff. No names or charges have been released yet. A former Garvin County deputy has been found guilty in connection with the death of an inmate in the county jail. A jury convicted former deputy in the 2023 death of 31-year-old Nathan Turley, who died after an altercation while in custody. Prosecutors argue the deputy used excessive force, while defense attorneys maintained the actions were justified. The guilty verdict follows a closely watched case that raised questions about inmate treatment and accountability inside Oklahoma jails. Sentencing is scheduled for a later date, and the deputy could face some prison time. The parents of a 6-year-old Oklahoma City student are speaking out after a former Frontier Public School special education teacher was accused of abusing their child. The child, who is nonverbal and has autism, allegedly suffered repeated abuse while in the teacher's care. The former teacher, Mike Arnold, faces felony child abuse charges. The family says they want accountability and changes to prevent similar incidents from happening to other students. Frontier Public Schools has said the teacher is no longer employed by the district and that it is cooperating with investigators as the case moves forward. An Oklahoma woman is facing multiple charges after investigators say she shot a man and then struck him with a Bible during a domestic dispute. Authorities say the incident happened in Grady County, where deputies responded to reports of a shooting and found the victim with injuries. The man was transported to the hospital. He is expected to survive. Investigators arrested 31-year-old Chelsea Austin, who is accused of shooting the victim before allegedly assaulting him with the Bible. She is being held on complaints that include assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. Volunteers and emergency crews are being praised after rescuing dozens of animals from floodwaters in eastern Oklahoma. Rising floodwaters threatened the Tahlequah Animal Shelter following heavy rains and flooding across the region. Shelter staff, volunteers, and local responders worked quickly to remove dogs and cats to safety before the conditions worsened. Photos from the rescue effort show animals being carried through floodwaters and loaded into vehicles for transport. Despite the challenging conditions, officials say the animals were safely evacuated and are being cared for while recovery efforts continue. Two people facing charges this morning after a traffic stop in McIntosh County led deputies to what investigators say was evidence of illegal cockfighting. Authorities say several roosters and items commonly associated with organized animal fighting were found during the stop, leading to further investigation. Additional evidence was later recovered, and both suspects were arrested on animal fighting-related complaints. Cockfighting is illegal here in Oklahoma and can carry felony penalties. The investigation remains ongoing as authorities work to determine whether others may be connected to the case. Well, fewer Oklahomans are relying on food assistance programs. Enrollment in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, declined by about 14% in 2025 compared to the previous year. State officials point to a combination of factors, including stronger employment numbers, changing eligibility requirements, and post-pandemic adjustments to federal benefits. Advocates, however, say some families continue to struggle with rising grocery costs and housing expenses despite the decline in enrollment. SNAP remains one of the state's largest anti-hunger programs, serving hundreds of thousands of Oklahomans each and every month. It's 7:13, 68 degrees under cloudy skies on Freedom 96.9. Well, leaders from tribal nations, state government, and legal communities gathered in Oklahoma City this week for the annual Sovereignty Symposium. The event focuses on strengthening relationships between tribes and state agencies while addressing legal, economic, and cultural issues facing the Native communities. Organizers say this year's discussions included public safety, jurisdiction, health care, and opportunities for greater cooperation. The symposium comes as Oklahoma continues to navigate complex questions surrounding tribal sovereignty and state authority. Participants say open dialogue and collaboration remain key to improving government-to-government relationships across the state. Oklahoma's tourism industry got a major boost in 2025, thanks in part to some of the state's biggest sporting events. Visitors flocked to Oklahoma City for the Women's College World Series and the NBA Finals run by Oklahoma City Thunder, helping to drive record tourism spending across the state. State officials say hotels, restaurants, and entertainment venues all benefited from the surge in visitors. Tourism leaders say the strong numbers highlight the growing impact of major events and could help to attract more national competitions and visitors to Oklahoma in the years ahead. And summer activities along the Oklahoma River could face disruptions as crews prepare to repair a major sewer line beneath the river near downtown Oklahoma City. City officials say the aging sewer main requires extensive work that could affect access to parts of the river and nearby recreation areas, including some river sport attractions. The project is expected to take several months and comes as the busy summer season gets underway. City leaders say they're working to minimize impacts, but visitors should expect some closures and changes while the repairs are completed. Well, it is primary election day here in Oklahoma. Before you hit the polls, though, which candidates are the most Second Amendment friendly? Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association joins us live on this 2A Tuesday. And coming up, your dad joke of the day. It's 68 degrees at 7:15, and you're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Checking out Freedom Traffic on this Wednesday morning. Got a major issue northbound I-35 at the Amarillo Junction. This has been going on for a while. Expect some big delays there. Again, that's northbound I-35 at the Amarillo Junction. Construction work, bridge work, Northwest Expressway in May, I-44 at Southwest 74th, and construction on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Running for Oklahoma governor ain't supposed to be easy. You gotta be tough. So Mike Mazie's whining and crying as we learn about his liberal record? Tough luck, Mikey. See, while President Trump crushed the woke left, Mike Mazie allowed transgender surgeries in Oklahoma. That's right. Mazie voted to allow a taxpayer-funded hospital to hide children undergoing radical gender reassignment treatments, sex changes that transitioned boys into girls and girls into boys. But that's not all. Trump's MAGA movement would have been crushed by Hillary Clinton if Mike Mazie got his way. Mazie voted to remove Oklahoma from the Electoral College, going to a national popular vote that would have rigged the system for crooked Hillary Clinton.
Thanks, Mike Mazie, for trying so close.
A transgender ally endangering our kids, a Clinton lover and Trump hater, MAGA phony Mike Mazie, woke, radical, and just too liberal for Oklahoma. Paid for by Make Oklahoma Great Again, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. 601 South Boulder Avenue, Suite 610, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74119, 918-947-9459.
Hey, this is Dr. Tony from Be Well Acupuncture in Oklahoma City. Are you not from around here? We can still help you with your peripheral neuropathy with our outpatient optimization program, which means we send everything you need to reverse your neuropathy right to your house. Be Well Acupuncture understands that traveling can be difficult when you are in pain, and we're here to help even from afar. Take the next step to your relief. Call 405-697-5121 or visit bewellokc.com to get started today.
Robert Trimble says he would have voted against every single state budget. That means voting against funding for law enforcement, against funding for volunteer firefighters, against funding for school security, against funding for 911 services, against funding to shut down Mexican cartels and Chinese criminal grows. Robert Trimble calls that conservative. Rural Oklahoma calls it reckless.
Grant Green fights for our families, our safety, and our way of life. Grant Green for State Senate.
Authorized and paid for by Friends of Grant Green, 2026.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio. The new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
Hey, it's Eric Erickson. I'm coming to Oklahoma City to be with you guys in Freedom 96.9. A free live event this Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. at 405 Social on North May Avenue. Just a few days after Oklahoma's primaries have finished, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Lee Matthews will be broadcasting live, and we'll have a great time meeting you and answering your questions. More info available now at freedom969.com. freedom969.com.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. If you want to be part of the show this morning, really simple to do. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. 405-608-4377. Taking a quick look at our weather today, expect mostly sunny skies. We'll see a high of 90 degrees. Tonight, clear, breezy, low temperature around 72. Then on Wednesday, windy. A little bit warmer with a high of 95 degrees on Wednesday. On Thursday, we could see some variable clouds, a little bit humid outside, high of 83 degrees. 69 degrees right now under mostly clear skies at 7:20 in the morning. Well, today is primary election day in Oklahoma with voters casting ballots in several key races and on state question 832. So where do the candidates stand on your Second Amendment rights? Don Spencer with the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association is joining us live. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Hey, are we still doing this election thing? I thought that was already done.
Believe it or not. And then as of tomorrow, all those commercials just disappear.
I hope so, because I just listened to some, even through your radio station, that I just about have to puke over.
Man.
And I think everyone is feeling that, too.
And I'll tell you, with the advancements that we're seeing right now in AI, First of all, the TV guy in me is incredibly impressed with how convincing some of these videos are. But the political right. gadfly in me is thinking, man, this is damaging because there are people who are going to see these videos, genuinely believe these are real videos that,
correct.
You know, you've got Mike Mazzei actually hugging Hillary Clinton and,
right.
You know, Charles McCall French kissing
right.
President Biden. And, you know, it just people are going to believe this crap. And that's exactly
right.
what it is. It's crap. And it's designed to make voters believe certain things that aren't necessarily true. And part of me is
right.
like, look, these are politicians. These people are jerky enough. They don't need your help to make them look like bigger jerks. They're politicians. They can do it all by themselves. But there's so much money being thrown into this race, and it's hard to tell what's fact and what's fiction. So that's why you're here this morning with us. When it comes to Second Amendment stuff, you are the man, as the kids would say. So
I'll be your fact machine.
You're my fact checker for the day. So
right.
tell me where we stand on the major candidates. And I'll tell you what, this sounds terrible, but we're going to stick with primarily the Republican candidates. The reality is primary day is election day in Oklahoma. The
right.
chances of having a Democratic candidate somehow pull ahead in red Oklahoma we're so red here that even our dirt is red. The chances of a Democrat actually winning are kind of slim to none. The reality is whoever wins the primary, and it's probably going to wind up going to a runoff, but whoever comes out on top in the primary is going to be the next governor. So
right.
who are we looking at? Who are our best choices just in terms of Second Amendment issues?
Well, OK2A, we make an effort to obtain surveys from candidates and then also attempt to do endorsements to help guide on these. And quite frankly, when it came to governor's race, it was even our board of directors and our members are all over the place, which I'm sure you've probably found also.
Yeah, 100%.
One thing I can say for sure in our social media specifically, that the love for Gettner Drummond does not exist. That he will not return an OK2A survey.
Really?
And he failed to show up at forums. And he is just stiff-arming us, trying to do a flyby right over us without even anything else. So that part would be easy. The other serious four contenders, which would be Mazzei, Merrick, McCall, and Keating, I would say on our social media, without question, Jake Merrick would have a lead in that. But I just have trouble believing that's going to be the overall state response, and especially with Mazzei getting an endorsement from the president.
Sure.
Sir, I don't know what to tell you on that race.
So in terms of who, I mean, obviously Gettner Drummond is out of the running if he's not even going to respond, but who responded the most positively to your survey in terms of Second Amendment issues?
Well, all four of the people I just mentioned turned in an A candidate survey.
Oh.
And then also to give credit, Charles McCall had an A voting record. Jake Merrick had an A voting record. And Mike Mazzei had an A voting record. So and Chip Keating never had a voting record for us to go from, which we do not eliminate someone just because of that.
Right.
But that's why we were all, we did not make an endorsement in that race. And basically, it was the same thing with Lieutenant Governor. T.W. Shannon was a former Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. He had an A voting record with us. Daryl Weaver has an A-plus voting record in the state legislature, along with J.J. Humphreys. So for the same reason, because you've got great candidates here, we did not have a specific endorsement in those races.
So let's look a little bit beneath the surface then, because you've been covering politics at the Capitol for 7.8 million years. You know each one of these people individually, too. Is there any level of, because let's face it, Oklahoma is a gun-friendly state.
Right.
Oklahomans do love their guns. The first bill that the governor signed when he became governor was for constitutional carry. And,
right. Now, let me make this easy.
Sure.
For we are talking that, let's talk about the attorney general race. Because we did an endorsement in this race. And it was very easy for the board of directors, and it was our first endorsement we did after the filing period in April. that John Eccles has been endorsed by the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association. He has an A-plus lifetime voting record, and he was the author for constitutional carry that you just mentioned.
I remember that.
We're not anti-against anyone else, but, you know, you have the opportunity where someone just stands above everyone in the category, and it makes it easier. And John Eccles is the easy vote for Attorney General for the state of Oklahoma.
So looking at all of these choices, including the choice for Attorney General, how many of these do you believe, knowing these guys the way you know them, are simply pandering to voters, and how many actually have the beliefs that you guys are looking for?
Well, we're going on a history. So if John Eccles, who was in the legislature for 12 years, who carried multiple bills for me, got multiple bills passed, it's kind of hard to call that pandering.
Yeah.
That is a real pattern. And then also for state labor commissioner, Kevin West fits in the exact same boat. He has an A++ lifetime voting record. He was on the presented constitutional carry. For us, like I say, we're not against anyone else in this race. It's just someone is elevated above that, and that's who we would recommend that you maintain that integrity inside the state legislature and other elected positions here.
Yeah, and same with McCall and Mazie. They were both for constitutional carry.
Correct. Right. And so that made it, like I said, that was difficult for us because you had three, and actually so was Jake Merrick. So don't doubt Chip Keating's sincerity on it either. Yeah. So that part made it easy. So when we did an endorsement, we put it out there, and also who came into the endorsement list for corporation commissioner was Brad Bowles, who had a lifetime voting record with us. And then for state insurance commissioner was Marty Quinn, who had an lifetime voting record. So these are people we've dealt with for 10 and 12 years that we've worked with. So it just makes it easier when we already have that working relationship with them to have a general idea of what to expect for future votes and support and protecting our rights.
So as we go into the next legislative session, and I know that you guys at OK2A have a pretty aggressive agenda going into the next one, who do you think would be the most likely to back your agenda?
You're talking about in the legislature itself?
Correct.
Ah, okay. So let's go to the state Senate. We've had this issue that we have been referring to as the Swamp Seven.
Yeah.
And there's seven senators who have aggressively worked against Second Amendment rights. And yes, they're Republicans. And there were 62 bills, Second Amendment bills, specifically Second Amendment bills that they killed in this legislative session. Four of them were still on the docket to be heard up to the last day of session, and they killed those four bills. So we're telling people you need to vote these state senators out and vote the candidate in that's running against them.
And just quickly name those for me. We got just a couple seconds.
Sure. Senate District 2, Cypher's got to go. Woods has got to go. Bill Coleman's got to go. Gallagher's got to go. I apologize. I just lost my list here.
That's right.
But that's technology for you. But also, Brenda Stanley has to go.
Gotcha.
So, and Grant Green, who is my state senator, who has done a horrible job, has to be fired today.
Don Spencer with OK2A joining us on this 2A Tuesday. Thanks, Don. We appreciate your time. And coming back after the break, we're going to be covering all your daily news, plus your dad joke of the day. You don't want to miss that one. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Radio News. I'm John Summers. President Trump says the U.S. and Iran have digitally signed an agreement, and he's eager for it to be released. Voters head to the polls today for primaries in Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Washington, D.C. New York City's gearing up for its first ever ticker tape parade in celebration of the Knicks. It may be the second time the Knicks have won the NBA Finals, but they never got a proper parade. California Governor Gavin Newsom says the Department of Justice is poking around because he's considering running for president, but that may not be the case.
It does appear to be some sort of bribery or pay-to-play investigation.
Nima Romani is a former federal prosecutor and president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers.
I believe the reports that this investigation has to do with Jennifer Newsom's nonprofit.
I'm Jason Campadonia.
From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Jeremy Thurman with McIntyre Law with your McIntyre Minute.
And I want to talk to you for a minute, not as a lawyer, but as someone who's seen way too much. In my career, I've handled hundreds of car wrecks, and I'll tell you what the numbers show. Every single time, the people who buckle up tend to walk away. The people who don't, too often they don't walk away at all. It's the simplest thing in the world. 2 seconds, one click. Statistically, a seatbelt can be the difference between a bad day and the worst day of your family's life. I don't care how short the drive is. I don't care if you're just going down the road. Buckle up. Make your kids buckle up. I've seen what happens when folks don't, and I never want to see your family in my office for that reason. From all of us at McIntyre Law, please click it, buckle up your seatbelt, and drive safe.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000.
Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. A Tulsa County woman faces charges after deputies say she shot a man and assaulted him during an argument. Authorities say 33-year-old Chelsea Austin shot the victim in the ankle as he tried to leave. Victim also reported being hit in the head and struck with a Bible during the struggle. He was taken to the hospital for treatment, and Austin has been arrested and faces multiple charges. The investigation continues. An Oklahoma City family is warning others after a viral social media trend left their son injured. 11-year-old Colton Preston suffered burns when a stress toy he microwaved exploded. His mother says he required hospital treatment and follow-up care. Doctors are warning the toys should never be heated because they can burst. The family is urging parents to talk with kids about online trends, as experts say the risks can be dangerous. Recent storms brought heavy rain and strong winds to parts of Oklahoma over the weekend, with some areas seeing several inches of rain and wind gusts topping over 70 miles an hour. Multiple downed power lines and widespread damage were reported, especially in northern parts of the state. Most power outages have been restored and cleanup efforts continue. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
David Ostro, Republican for Lieutenant Governor.
I'm David Ostro. I flew combat missions for the U.S. Navy hunting Soviet submarines.
David Ostro, Christian servant, husband, father, and business owner. David Ostro knows how to create a growing economy.
I built my company from one employee to over 1,000.
David Ostro put the state of Oklahoma's checkbook online to fight fraud and put more money in the real economy. David Ostro knows to improve schools and put more money in the classroom, we must fight the fraud that steals money from students. David Ostro understands to create good-paying jobs for Oklahomans, we must stop payments to illegal aliens.
I've hunted America's enemies, and now I'm hunting fraud, waste, and abuse.
David Ostro for Lieutenant Governor. Same oath, new mission. Authorized and paid for by David Ostro for Lieutenant Governor 2026.
I want to introduce you to a great connection. Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, nobody wants to spend hours cleaning floors, so how does ICS make it easier?
Yeah, our Pentek coatings are incredibly low maintenance. They resist oil, grease, and chemical stains, so spills wipe up easily. A quick sweep or mop keeps your floor looking showroom new, whether it's a garage, patio, or a basement.
That's a huge time saver. So how do these floors hold up over time?
They're built to last. We have a manufacturer lifetime warranty for all of our customers. Our Pentek coatings are 4 times stronger than epoxy, so they stay tough and beautiful for years.
Easy and durable. Love it. Sounds like a dream floor. How can listeners get started?
Just call us for a free estimate, and we'll handle the rest in just one day.
Get a hassle-free floor with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012 or go to icsconcretecoatings.com 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com to get your free estimate today.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect mostly sunny skies with a high of 90. Tonight, it will be breezy in the evening, but otherwise, the sky will be crystal clear and humid with a low of 72. Tomorrow, anticipate very warm weather with plenty of sunshine, accompanied by winds gusting past 40 miles per hour and a high of 95. Looking ahead to Thursday, there will be variable clouds with a chance of a shower and thunderstorm. It won't be as hot, but it will still be humid in the morning, becoming breezy later on with a high of 83. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Catarina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillback.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillback on Freedom 96.9. Taking a quick look at the weather today. Mostly sunny skies with a high of 90 degrees tonight. We'll see clear skies. It'll be breezy, though, and a low of 72. On Wednesday, windy, warm, high of 95 degrees. Then on Thursday, look for some variable clouds, a little bit on the humid side, and a high of 83 degrees. 69 degrees under clear skies at 7:36 in the morning. That means it's time for your dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave?
Yeah.
My wife was feeling a bit, shall we say, romantic last night. She gave me that frisky little look that she sometimes gets, and she says to me, "I want you to whisper filthy things into my ear."
Yeah?
So I leaned over and I whispered, "Kitchen, bathroom, living room, carpet."
And the reason there's a clock on the stove?
That's the reason that I'm sleeping in your house tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
Going to be on the couch.
So. Sounds all right.
I appreciate that. Hey, let's check out your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Well, today is primary election day in Oklahoma, with voters heading to the polls to decide several major races in a statewide ballot measure. Oklahomans will choose party nominees for officials, including governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, along with a number of state, county, and local positions. Voters will decide state question 832, which will gradually raise Oklahoma's minimum wage to $15 per hour by 2029. Oklahoma operates under a closed primary system, though all registered voters may cast a ballot statewide on the statewide election. The polls will remain open until 7 p.m. this evening. Oklahoma is seeing a significant increase in voter participation ahead of today's primary election. More than 48,000 people cast ballots during the three-day early voting period, marking a sharp increase from the 2022 primary. When absentee ballots are included, overall voting totals have more than doubled compared to just 4 years ago. Election officials say competitive races for governor, U.S. Senate, and other statewide offices, along with state question 832, appear to be generating strong interest among voters across the state. As Oklahoma Republicans cast ballots in today's gubernatorial primary, outside political groups have spent heavily to influence that race. Political action committees have poured millions of dollars into television, digital, and direct mail campaigns, supporting or attacking candidates in the crowded field. The spending has intensified competition among Attorney General Gettner Drummond, former House Speaker Charles McCall, and former State Senator Mike Mazie, among other contenders. The political analysis say that political analysts say that unprecedented levels of outside spending reflects the importance of the race to replace term-limited Governor Kevin Stitt. It's 7:39 and 69 degrees outside on Freedom 96.9. Well, several people are in custody after an hours-long standoff early this morning at an apartment complex in northwest Oklahoma City. The situation unfolded at the Augusta Apartments near Northwest 122nd and Meridian after police tracked the suspects believed to be connected to a series of armed gas station robberies. Authorities located the suspect's vehicle at the complex, leading to the standoff that lasted several hours. Two suspects surrendered around 4 o'clock this morning, followed by two more about an hour later. Multiple agencies responded. No injuries were reported, and charges are still pending. A former Garvin County deputy has been convicted in connection with the death of an inmate at a county jail. Jurors found the former deputy guilty in the 2023 death of 31-year-old Nathan Turley, who died following an altercation while in custody. Prosecutors argued that the deputy used excessive force during the incident, while defense attorneys maintained the actions were appropriate under the circumstances. The case has drawn statewide attention and renewed discussion about jail oversight and inmate treatment. Sentencing will take place at a later date. The parents of a 6-year-old Oklahoma City student are speaking publicly after a former Frontier Public School special education teacher was charged with child abuse. Investigators say the child, who is nonverbal and has autism, was repeatedly abused while in the teacher's care. Former teacher Mike Arnold now faces felony child abuse charges. The family says they want accountability and stronger protections for vulnerable students. School officials say Arnold is no longer employed by the district and that they continue to cooperate with law enforcement during the investigation. An Oklahoma woman is facing serious charges after investigators say she shot a man and then struck him with a Bible during a domestic dispute. Deputies responded to reports of a shooting at Grady County and found the victim was injured. He was taken to the hospital and is expected to recover. Authorities arrested 31-year-old Chelsea Austin, who is accused of shooting the victim before assaulting him with the Bible. She remains in custody on complaints that include assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. Well, volunteers and emergency crews are being recognized after rescuing dozens of animals from floodwaters in eastern Oklahoma. Rising waters threatened the Tahlequah Animal Shelter following days of heavy rain across the region. Shelter employees, volunteers, and first responders worked quickly to remove dogs and cats out of danger before flood conditions worsened. Images from the rescue effort show animals being carried through standing water and transported to safety. Officials say all of the animals were successfully evacuated and continue to receive care as recovery efforts move forward. Well, two people are facing charges after a traffic stop in McIntosh County uncovered what authorities describe as evidence of illegal cockfighting. Deputies say they found several roosters along with equipment commonly associated with organized animal fighting. The discovery led investigators to gather evidence connected to the alleged operation. Both suspects were arrested on animal fighting-related complaints. Cockfighting is illegal in Oklahoma and carries felony penalties. Investigators say the case remains active as they determine whether additional arrests could follow. Fewer Oklahomans are receiving food assistance benefits. Enrollment in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly known as SNAP, fell by nearly 14% during 2025 compared with the previous year. State officials cite stronger employment numbers and eligibility changes and the continued adjustment from pandemic-era assistance programs. Anti-hunger advocates say many families still face challenges from rising grocery prices and housing costs despite a decline in participation. SNAP continues to provide food assistance to hundreds of thousands of Oklahomans every single month. Leaders from tribal nations and state government and the legal community gathered in Oklahoma City this week for the annual Sovereignty Symposium. The event is designed to strengthen relationships between tribal governments and state agencies while addressing key issues affecting Native communities. This year's discussion focused on public safety, jurisdiction, health care, and economic development. Organizers say the symposium provides an important forum for cooperation as Oklahoma continues to navigate complex questions involving tribal sovereignty and state authority. Oklahoma's tourism industry enjoyed a banner year in 2025, fueled in part by some of the state's highest profile sporting events. Thousands of visitors traveled to Oklahoma City for the Women's College World Series and for the Oklahoma City Thunder's run to the NBA Finals. State officials say hotels, restaurants, and entertainment venues all benefited from the increased tourism. Tourism leaders believe the economic impact of major events helped to attract additional visitors, tournaments, and national competitions to Oklahoma in the future. Well, summer recreation along the Oklahoma River could face some disruptions as crews prepare to fix a major sewer line beneath the river in near downtown Oklahoma City. City officials say the aging infrastructure requires extensive work that could affect access to portions of the river and nearby attractions, including some river sport activities. The project is expected to last several months during the busy summer season. While officials say every effort will be made to limit those disruptions, visitors should expect some temporary closures and changes throughout the repair process. So let's talk politics before you hit the ballots. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial if you want to be part of the show. 405-608-4377. We want to hear from you. There are some very important races on the ballot and State Question 832, which will gradually increase the minimum wage. So what do you want to see? Who do you want to see in the governor's mansion? What are your thoughts on State Question 832? Will it help struggling Oklahomans or will it hurt small businesses? or will it lead to higher prices for the rest of us? Your chance to weigh in, 405-608-4377 is coming up, 405-608-4377. It is 69 degrees under clear skies at 745, and you're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic. Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Checking out Freedom Traffic on this Wednesday morning. Got a major issue northbound I-35 at the Amarillo Junction. This has been going on for a while. Expect some big delays there. Again, that's northbound I-35 at the Amarillo Junction. Construction work, bridge work, Northwest Expressway in May, I-44 at Southwest 74th, and construction on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom96.9.com and on the Freedom app.
I'm Chuck Hall. I grew up believing you take care of your community. You work hard, you treat people right, and when you can help, you do. That's how Amy and I raised our family, and it's why I've spent my life serving this community and fighting for our values, faith, family, and freedom. Because to me, public service isn't about politics. It's about people.
Chuck Hall, conservative Republican for State Senate.
Authorized and paid for by Chuck Hall for State Senate 2026.
There's a lot of noise out there, especially when it comes to Medicare. Plans, options, fine print, it's enough to make anyone second guess. That's where Health 65 comes in. We simplify Medicare, explain your options clearly, and we help choose a plan that makes sense for your life, not someone else's. No guesswork, no confusion, just real answers from real people right here in Edmond. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65. Call us or visit us online at Health65.com. That's Health65.com.
Health65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Grocery cost up, gas up, property taxes up, and politicians keep wasting your money. I'm Suzanne Callahan, CPA and Republican candidate for House District 38. Numbers don't lie. The government spends too much without real oversight or accountability. Oklahoma families need a fiscal watchdog, not more excuses. On June 16th, vote to protect your paycheck. Vote Republican Suzanne Callahan for House District 38. I approve this message.
Authorized and paid for by Friends of Suzanne Callahan, 2026.
Hey, Oklahoma, I'm Jake Merrick, running for governor to serve you, not the political machine. I'm not taking a single dime from lobbyists or special interest groups because I'm interested in real change. Change that is only possible when you're not bought and paid for. I prioritize principle over politics, and I'll work for true reform in our courts and agencies like DHS and mental health while fighting for Oklahoma families, defending our rights that come from God himself. Check me out at jakemerrickforgovernor.com.
Paid for by Jake Merrick for Governor 2026.
From wars in the Middle East to conflicts at home, we're the only station you need to stay informed. We're the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Hey, it's Eric Erickson. I'm coming to Oklahoma City to be with you guys in Freedom 96.9. A free live event this Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. at 405 Social on North May Avenue. Just a few days after Oklahoma's primaries have finished, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Lee Matthews will be broadcasting live, and we'll have a great time meeting you and answering your questions. More info available now at freedom969.com. Freedom969.com.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Today we'll see mostly sunny skies and a high about 90 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, breezy, low of 72. On Wednesday, windy, warm, high of 95. Then on Thursday, look for variable clouds, humid, not quite as warm outside, 83 degrees for your Thursday temperature. It's 69 degrees under sunshiny skies at 7:49 this morning on the 16th day of June of the year of our Lord, 2026. On the line with us now is Gil. Gil from Shawnee has got a dad joke for us. Morning, Gil. How are you?
Morning, sir. Wonderful. Thank you.
What you got?
Okay, I heard this out in the Pacific Northwest. I heard it on the regular FM radio. I used to drive a truck.
Okay.
So I hope I can tell it as well as they did as a PSA.
Give it a shot.
Okay. This is a public service announcement from the joint states of Oregon and Washington, Department of Tourism and Wildlife Department. We've noticed a drop in people on our public golf courses because they're being chased away by bears. Grizzly bears and black bears were there long before the golf courses. We've tried relocating them, but they keep coming back. So we need some help. Obviously, we don't want you all to quit playing golf because we need your money. And if you see any bears, we'd like you to report the bears, if it's black bear or grizzly bear. And if you see any scat, where it is, and if you can identify it. Now, to protect yourselves, we encourage you to carry pepper spray or bear spray and tie a little shiny silver balls to your belt, your shoes, things like that. Now, if you want to help us identify this scat, black bears are kind of smaller mounds. They may contain seeds and berries. Grizzly bears are going to be larger. They contain little shiny bells and smell like pepper spray.
Okay, that was a pretty unbearable joke.
Ooh, burn.
It was grizzly.
Oh, man. You should do that for a living.
It was the polar opposite of funny. I can do this all day, man. I can do this all day.
I kind of get it, sir.
Gil, thanks for calling in, man. That was a great joke. I'm definitely stealing it.
God bless.
You as well, brother. I appreciate you. Again, 69 degrees under sunshiny skies at 751. Well, Oklahomans are heading to the polls today, and on the ballot, a whole bunch of state elections, including governor, lieutenant governor, some state leadership positions. Also on the ballot, state question 832, which would raise the minimum wage. So we want to hear from you. Who's your choice from governor? Who's your choice for lieutenant governor? What do you think about raising the minimum wage? And when you call in at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377, I don't want to know just who you want in the governor's mansion. I want to know why you're choosing that person. As I'm looking at the vast slate of primarily Republican candidates, honestly, a lot of them look almost exactly the same in terms of what their beliefs are, what their motivations are, what their thoughts are. I'm not seeing a whole lot of difference. I'm not seeing anyone who really stands above the rest. Obviously, Mike Massey's endorsement from Donald Trump, I think, is definitely going to give him the boost. The reality of this primary election and any primary in Oklahoma is that because we're such a red state, anybody who wins the primary is likely going to win the governor's mansion. In this case, my suspicion is we're going to see a runoff election. I don't think we're going to know who the next governor is today, but I think that it's probably going to be pretty close because so many of them have the exact same beliefs. Also on the ballot, a state question 832. This is one of the most debated issues on today's ballot because it goes beyond simply raising the minimum wage. It would raise the wage floor, which also expands who is covered, and it ties into future inflation. So what exactly does state question 832 do? It raises Oklahoma's minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $12 in 2027, $13.50 in 2028, and $15 in 2029. This is the part that makes me a little bit concerned. Beginning in 2030, it'll automatically adjust the minimum wage for inflation. So what that does is it basically relinquishes any control that Oklahoma has of its minimum wage and shifts it to the federal government. To me, that's potentially pretty scary. Now, don't get me wrong. $7.25 an hour, I think, is way too low. It's been that way for entirely too long. I would be in favor of seeing an increase in the minimum wage. My preference would be letting the market dictate it. Right now, we've got a pretty strong economy, and I think it's only going to get stronger now that, at least allegedly, we've reached a peace deal with Iran. So should they maintain that peace deal? And obviously, like most of you, I've got some questions as to whether or not they're going to maintain that peace deal. We've dealt with Iran for 40 years now, and it's been nothing but lie after lie after lie after lie. I don't think this leopard's going to be changing its stripes anytime soon. But that said, I'm hopeful that with at least a peace deal announced and hopefully the United States taking control over their enriched uranium, things are going to get better in terms of the economy. And with the Strait of Hormuz being open again,
that's going to help our economy dramatically. Everything runs on gas and oil. We know that. So given that, I'm hoping that the economy improves, and with that, we see an improvement in business. Right now, there are more jobs in the United States, thank you, President Trump, than there are people to fill those jobs. So $7.25 an hour, especially here in Oklahoma, is very much a rarity. Only a small percentage of people receive that $7.25 per hour. I would much rather see the economy dictate what the minimum wage is. That said, extending minimum wage protections to some workers currently exempt under Oklahoma law, including certain part-time agricultural and domestic service-type jobs, student workers, that's another thing this thing does. I'm okay with that. Those people should be protected as well. But I do have some concerns about this plan starting 2030, where the federal government makes the decisions for us, and we're no longer able to make those decisions ourselves. Now, supporters say the minimum wage hasn't raised since 2009. Oklahoma's minimum wage has been stuck at the federal level of $7.25 for 17 years now. Meanwhile, housing, food, other cost of living have gone up dramatically, especially in the past few years. Workers need help trying to keep up with that inflation. Supporters argue that full-time workers earning $7.25 per hour, there are struggles to afford basic necessities, and the higher wages would help working families get along with that. But again, the reality is a very, very, very small percentage of Oklahomans just receive $7.25 per hour. The vast majority of those that do, they're your high school students, your college students. None of those jobs are meant to raise a family, to have a mortgage, to buy a brand new Lamborghini. You're just not going to do it on $7.25 an hour. What that $7.25 an hour does do, though, I believe, is it incentivizes people to work harder, to increase their positions, to increase their educations, to essentially increase their value within a company, or find another job that pays better. Now, the entry increase is going to be gradual, so it's not going to be a complete slap in the face, especially to small businesses. So rather than jumping immediately to $15 per hour, the measure phases in the increase over several years, giving employers time to adjust. Problem is that fosters under the assumption that we're going to see a dramatic spike in our economy over that time. What if we see the opposite? What if we see a recession at some point? We just don't know. What we do know is that's going to have a dramatic impact on local businesses, especially your smaller mom-and-pop businesses. Advocates also say it'll boost the economy. So supporters contend that the low-wage workers tend to spend additional earnings locally benefiting businesses and communities. They also argue that hundreds of thousands of workers could see pay increases. That's debatable. The argument there is that obviously there's going to be a ripple effect. If you raise the lowest wages from $7.25 up, you're going to be seeing other wages increasing as a result of that. That kind of remains to be seen. Chances are that could happen. Are you going to see a dramatic increase? Maybe, maybe not. But you're also going to see an increase in products and in the cost of services. So that raise that you're getting is going to go right back towards the businesses that are paying you for that raise. So will it hurt small businesses? I think absolutely. Could jobs be lost? I think absolutely. The inflation that we see as a result of it could be very, very damaging. And that's where the controversy lies here. So as far as I'm concerned, my vote for State Question 832 is going to be a resounding no. Well, thanks so much for joining us on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate the joke of the day that was shared with us. We had a super good time just kind of lightening things up. Coming up on Freedom 96.9 throughout the day today, we'll have Brian Kilmeade at 8 o'clock, Eric Erickson joining us at 11 o'clock, Dana Lash at 2 o'clock, then Lee Matthews with a drive at 4 o'clock. Again, thanks for joining us on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.